Mayville Village, Ohio. Prices vary based on how you buy. Discounts not available in all states or situations.
Good morning, everyone. You are tuned in to KSCO 1080. I'm Nikki James. I've got your forecast here. The forecast for today is absolute gorgeous sunny skies. High of 79, north winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Tonight, mostly clear, low of 52 with light winds. And tomorrow, mostly sunny, high of 78 with north-northeast winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Out on the Monterey Bay, the northeast winds, 5 knots becoming northwest this afternoon. Wind waves will be less than 2 feet and a northwest swell of 2 to 4 feet at 8 seconds. And tonight out there, the west winds 10 knots in the evening becoming light and wind waves less than 2 feet with a northwest swell of 2 to 3 feet at 9 seconds. And tomorrow, light winds becoming west 10 knots in the afternoon, wind waves less than 2 feet, northwest swell 3 to 5 feet at 9 seconds. Also have current temperatures for you here. It looks like we've got Monterey at 60 degrees. And in Salinas, it is 57. And Watsonville's at 60. We are also at 60 here in Santa Cruz, right outside KSCO Studios. For your King of the Hill traffic update, it looks like we've got a hazard on northbound 1, just north of 12th Street. And there's someone in lane number 1, and they're changing a tire. So heads up for that. And let's see, anything else? I don't have anything else to report, but if you see something out there I missed, you can call me at 475-1080. The official time is 11:07 and 54 seconds on this Saturday, October 22nd. Up next, we've got the Saturday special. Stay tuned. KSCO Santa Cruz, I'm Nikki James.
How are you feeling today? Be honest.
I'm feeling fantastic, and the sunny skies are helping immensely.
Isn't that amazing? You know, how I'm not the only person who feels much better when the sun shines.
You're not. You're right.
Yeah,
I mean, think everybody does. That's why I could never live in, like, Seattle where it rains all the time or, you know, places like that.
Yeah, but, you know, this is becoming like Seattle because it fogs all the time,
well,
you know, except
the
for today.
Fog.
Too much. It was much too. This is the worst. Do you remember a foggier summer than this last one here?
No.
How many years have you been here? It's just getting foggier and foggier.
4 or 5. Uh-huh. I don't know. I lost count.
Yeah. Well, let's see. I've been here, you know, I'm coming up on the 60th anniversary of my being here.
Ooh.
With only 1 or 2 years that I wasn't here. When I was a student at UC Berkeley.
Ah, so you have always been in Cali.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah, and it used to be like every 8 or 9 years they'd have an extra foggy summer where you wouldn't see much sun for many, many months. And last summer it was horrible. Not the one that we're just coming out of.
Right, right.
The one before that I figured, hey, it can't get it. Once we had a bad one, now we're going to have half a dozen or more, you know, sunny ones.
Yeah.
And then we had this summer, which was the absolute worst in my
memory. I don't actually think we should even call it a summer. It didn't feel like summer. There's no summer.
It was just ridiculous.
I know. Well, that's why you got to go cruise around, take some vacations where the sun's shining.
Yeah, just awful. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, can you think of a better thing to talk about today than oil drilling?
I don't think I can.
All righty. Well, I will start the show officially here, and you can get our guest on the phone, right?
You got it.
Well, very good here. Okay. Yeah, I've got to do this.
A brighter day is here. Good morning. May we bring you cheer.
We've got time. We've got tunes. We've got time, tunes, and temperature.
Get up and go, it's today you know on KSCO Radio.
Hi there. Do you think I have bad breath when I said hi there? Anyhow, welcome to the Saturday special. MZ here at your favorite radio station, AM 1080 KSC. Who knows what's going to happen during the next 2 hours, but if you stay tuned, you will find out.
Good morning. Now stay right here on KSCO Radio.
Okay, now let's see here. Let's do a fanfare. Or let's do a crossfire. Let's do a crossfire. It's funny, I just talked to the guy. I literally talked to him. Maybe you took the... Maybe you took the phone number down wrong. Here. 472. Okay, there's something called fracking. Fracking. Have you ever heard of the word fracking? No, it's not. I know what you're thinking. It's not obscene. It's a kind of oil drilling that's been going on here in various counties, and the environmentalist people are pretty concerned about that. So anyhow, we were going to have a discussion about fracking from a fella in South Monterey County. Who is spearheading a drive to fight it, but we're having a hard time getting hold of that person here. So we're going to try one more time, and we might have to turn this into an open mic Saturday special if we can't get the person on the line. I just did from our business phone line, like 1 minute before, a guy answered, and he said, yeah, I'm ready. And so I said, well, we'll call you right back from the on-air line. Anyhow, so, every once in a while, something like this comes up. And, no cigar, Richard?
No.
Yeah, okay. Well, this is your time. Every once in a while, something like this happens here on your favorite radio station where something we have planned does not take place for whatever reason. So we're going to give out the phone numbers, 479-1080. And you can call, and we'll make this sort of an open mic. You decide the topic thing, and I'll come up with some ideas. But in the first few minutes here, I think what we'll do is go to a commercial break, and then we can sort of get our act together here on your favorite radio station, AM 1080 KSCO. So take
this
it away, Nikki.
This is Sylvia Panetta of the Panetta Institute inviting you to join us for the 2011 Jefferson Lincoln Awards. The proceeds of this special event, to be held on November 5th at the Inn at Spanish Bay, support our mission to inspire young men and women to lives of public service. Seats and sponsor tables are still available. Call 582-4200 for more information on how you can support the Panetta Institute. Again, 582-4200. Join us.
Hi, I'm Andy, the produce manager at Ben Lomond Market. This week we are featuring Jumbo California Pomegranates, 2 for $4. Washington Small Fuji Apples, 99 cents a pound. And from Mexico, large Haas Avocados, 99 cents each. We also have Scarlatta Red Seedless Grapes, $1.59 a pound. In organics, we are featuring local grown red onions and yellow onions, 97 cents a pound. And Washington Organic Bartlett Pears, 99 cents a pound. Organic Haas avocados from Mexico have also arrived, and we are featuring them at 2 for $3. Fall is in full swing in our produce departments. Great pumpkin patches, a large variety of new crop crisp apples, and a full selection of fall pears. So come check out our great selection of fresh produce at Ben Lomond Market and Scotts Valley Markets.
Every Saturday from noon to 1, the Perspectives Radio Show is heard on KSCO. Every week, they interview well-known experts on a variety of topics such as holistic health, constitutional issues, and local and national issues. For example, they would like everyone in Santa Cruz County to know that the Planning Department policy of handing out red tags to thousands of homes has been declared illegal by the state of California's 6th Court of Appeals. Listen in every Saturday from noon to 1 to Perspectives as they discuss these and many other important issues.
I'm sure you've heard this.
Flowerpowerdrink.com.
Now, here's a new idea. 1 cup ice, 1 cup water, into a blender. 2 scoops of vanilla whey powder. 1 packet of Paul Burst natural energy drink.
Flowerpowerdrink.com.
Blend till smooth. Just like an orange creamsicle. Take you back to the good old days. Enjoy.
Flowerpowerdrink.com.
If you've had it up to here with bickering from the left and right, then tune in to the Costa Report, the new voice of the radical center of the country. Every week, host Rebecca Costa asks world experts to tell us how to fix the toughest problems we now face, from an intractable recession to failing education and climate change. The Costa Report doesn't care whether a good idea comes from the left or right, so long as it works. So don't miss Rebecca Costa every Friday at 2 p.m. right here on KSCO. The Costa Report, a program for the rest of us. KSCO, Santa Cruz.
Hour number one of the KSCO Saturday special. And we have a special guest here today whose name is Steve Craig. And Steve, I think you're on with us now, finally, right?
I am.
Okay, good. Right. We have a brand new system here, a brand new world-class state-of-the-art studio that we cut over about 6 weeks ago. And every day we have more problems with it. So I'm wishing that we had the old studio back now all of a sudden here. So the zero state of the art system. Anyhow, you are in South Monterey County, yes?
Yes, that's correct.
And south of a place called, you're just north of the what's the next county? San Luis Obispo County, or is that?
We're about 5 miles from the county line, San Luis Obispo, and we're in a small community that's along the Nacimiento River called Bryson, which is very, very much in the backcountry. It's behind. It's over the mountain from the Big Sur Silver
gotcha.
Wilderness. So.
So, and you're in the organic farm business?
Well, we do several different things. We have an organic farm. We raise olives for a small amount of production. We're putting in pomegranates from the Middle East, from Tajikistan, and around. They've been made available through a series of steps through UC Davis. And we also raise native plants and trees, stream bed restorations, which we perform for the Corps and the Department of Fish and Game. So it's pretty diversified but small, intensive farming.
Ah, okay.
Very water dependent, of course.
Yeah, and so this word fracking, which I heard for the first time this week, when I read an article in the San Francisco Chronicle that was forwarded to me by a friend who suggested that this might make an interesting Saturday special. So I contacted you and you said, sure, be happy to do it. And so that's what we're doing today. So tell us what fracking is and why you are no fan of it.
Well, fracking is really a shorthand way of referring to an oil drilling process which involves fracturing rock. And drillers have been doing rock fracturing associated with drilling for a long period of time. Usually, in the past, it had been done at relatively shallow depths with explosives. Then there had been some forced, basically water injection. What's different and what's new and what evolved during the Bush administration is that the fracking of old, which dates back to the early 40s, really, was all directed at relatively shallow wells, several thousand feet, and much of it just to break through to get to tar sands. Now what they're looking at is a different kind of fracking. In fact, it has a different name, which is along which describes the process. It's called chemical injection hydraulic fracturing with radioactive tracing. And that's its proper name because it properly describes all the major components of it. And what this is a very different beast from what has been done in the 40s. The occurrence of this kind of drilling is generally focused on a kind of rock under the earth called shales. And in shale, you often get captured and trapped really low, basically low-density amounts of gas and oil, which are hard to extract from the shale because it's a tight and very compact rock. So now what they're doing is using these injections of chemicals, sometimes explosives, sometimes acid, to considerable depths, 6,000 to 7,000 feet, through sometimes three or four aquifers. The problem is this was all approved during the Bush-Cheney energy bill process of the mid-2000s. And the technology for fracturing rock and all has basically gotten way in front of the regulatory process. So the regulatory process doesn't even know how to track the swift chemicals that are going in the ground. They do know that only a certain percentage of those that are injected come back up. They provide assurances verbally that, you know, there's no interference with groundwater, but the chemicals are so diverse and there's so many of them, there aren't actually even tests for testing for most of the chemicals that are being injected.
So we should point out before we get too much farther down the line that where you are located, there is quite a lot of oil drilling going on. Yes?
Yes.
I just returned from a real whirlwind trip to Los Angeles.
Mm-hmm.
And I took Highway 101 both directions. And, you know, just about an hour south of Salinas, there's this place called San Ardo, which I believe is a little north of where you are.
Right.
And there are oil derricks and oil there. I mean, there are these pumping, you know, these oil pumping stations. There must be thousands of them. In this little area that's not too far from where we are and is definitely well within the KSCO listening area, our coverage area. Right. And so there's this little pocket of oil field that's been there for as long as I can remember. I mean, since I was a little kid, when I would drive past that area, I would say, oh my gosh, look at all these oil pumping things. And so, you know, there's this little area that has a huge concentration of oil wells, and then all of a sudden there's nothing. So
right.
Yeah, and so you know, how prolific is the oil, is that oil field? I mean, how is there a huge amount of oil there?
Well, here's what that field is. It's, first of all, it's a very old field. It's been around, I think, since the early 40s or perhaps even earlier. And the San Ardo field, as it's presently understood, is simply, it's not deep. It's only about 2,000 feet deep. And it's oil that's suspended in tarry kind of thick, viscous oil that's about probably closer to roof mastic than to usable oil for fuel. And that field, recently new technologies were applied to it. It's primarily run by Chevron. Chevron has a big plant there, which basically creates steam, and only steam that is injected. There are a few chemicals in their process, but nothing like the chemical fracturing injections. But they simply basically inject steam and some materials to decrease the viscosity of the oil. And it comes up, and it is presently trucked out. It's a very expensive, according to Chevron, and I met with them on one occasion here some months ago, it's a very expensive field to run. I believe it's their most expensive one to run. And it's an old field, and they're using, I guess, what can best be called mop-up technologies to get the very last elements of the oil that's suspended in the tar sands there. So it's basically in a formation that produces at about 2,000 feet. They pull it up, they separate it, they
heat
it up.
But there's no refining that's going on, right?
No, the refining, it's separated. The only, if you drive past there, you'll see there's some fresh industrial structures, and those are basically to generate the steam. And they are using some pockets of natural gas that are recovered to drive their steam manufacturing element of the process. So basically that's how that field works. It's an old field using relatively old-fashioned technology that has been upgraded by Chevron. Interestingly enough, when I asked them, have they done an energy audit, does it take more energy to get this oil out and shipped and over to the refinery than you actually receive from the oil that's been extracted? And that was a question they couldn't answer and have never actually conducted an energy audit. My suspicion is that because it's not fuel grade, you know, like crude, and it's a heavier material used for asphalt tiles and roof mastic and things like that, and other products, that it very likely is a marginal operation in terms of
really
bringing. Well, they only, I think they produce, I'm trying to recall, but I believe it's like 8,000 barrels either per day or per week. I'm not sure. I don't remember. The meeting was quite a while ago.
Do you know where it goes? And is it trucked? It's not, it must be trucked or railroaded, not piped anywhere, right?
It is not piped. Chevron has an approval for a pipeline, but there's two problems with pipelines. One is that obviously, it's a long way to their refinery in the Central Valley. It's a huge investment to put a pipeline in. They don't really know how much longer that field's going to be producing. And so the pipeline that they have approved, they just came back and are in the process of getting an extension on the approvals from the County of Monterey. But there seems to be no indication that it will be built in the near term. The only other big development in San Ardo was another kind of cogeneration facility that was proposed by a company which I believe was an Exxon or Shell BP operation under a limited corporate banner, which had proposed to do something like Chevron, but they abandoned the idea. So, but this kind of drilling is, you know, relatively harmless compared to what's coming, what has been done. It's not shale drilling. It's not deep. It doesn't use radioactive techniques or chemical injection or vast amounts of water. And it's, you know, a relatively safe, tried and true, stable form of extraction of relatively poor quality oil. It's certainly not, you know, the highest grade of oil. And as they say, it's a very modest production. I believe it's the smallest production of any Chevron operation in the world.
Okay, now you've been there for quite a few years now, right?
Close to 30.
Uh-huh. Okay, and that field has been there for, you said, since the 40s, so a good 60 years.
I think it may even go back earlier because it was shallow and it was accessible to old drilling technologies. And The only thing that changed was the development of steam injection technology to recover otherwise exhausted oil fields, and that's what Chevron's using. All that's very different. I mean, it's a similar thing that has happened in the chemical injection fracking, in that the technology has made a huge leap in recovering material and from deeper formations, but it does require extensive fracturing of the rock and the ability to control that fracturing as it reaches towards groundwater is unknown. The chemicals that are actually used for fracturing processes are also usually considered privileged by the companies, and Halliburton, of course, is one of the bigger inventors of the chemical suite, and they have claimed that they don't have to reveal what they're injecting. It's usually a suite of sometimes 15 to 30 different chemicals, depending on the nature of the drilling that's being done. And so due to this claim of privilege from revealing what their chemicals are that they're injecting into the public common groundwater and basins that underlie our surface life, they basically have stopped the process from being regulated. And when the Bush-Cheney Energy Bill was passed back in, I think it was 2005, it has it even has something called the Halliburton Loop, or is its nickname, but what it was something that Halliburton, and of course Cheney was Halliburton's vice president, I believe, for quite a while, or chairman of the board even. What they have evaded in this process is they got a federal exemption from the Safe Water Drinking Act. What we've learned in trying to challenge some of these new fracturing wells is that that has basically stopped entities like the Regional Water Quality Control Board and the Department of Oil and Gas at the state of California level, and the California Water Board, and federal agencies like the Corps of Engineers. They're just not regulating this new technology. They don't have the resources to understand it. They can't get a hold of the privileged information about what chemistry is involved. And there was a bill at the state level that AB 591 that passed the Assembly, didn't make it through the Senate, on Halliburton lobbying over their privileged information about what, you know, maintaining privilege relative to patents and all, that almost passed, that would have begun the process of regulating this on a state level. The feds don't regulate it. Nobody's regulating it.
So basically, that's what you want to change, probably, right?
Well, that's a good start. And I think, you know, Santa Barbara County passed some regulatory disclosures, and you know, they've rewritten their basic oil and gas development code, so it now requires disclosures of what chemicals are going to be used and whether they're using chemical injection fracking. And so that's a huge step forward, but it's, you know, Santa Barbara County is perhaps the most advanced county balancing environmental protection and energy in the whole state. Now, few other counties have taken this step of insisting that it be regulated. If no one else will do it, the county has the legal authority to do it. And so if you want to drill in the shales of the county, you are not going to be allowed an exemption from the process of disclosure, which is...
So that's in effect already, right?
That is in effect now.
Okay, and how long has it been in effect?
Just a couple of months, actually. What occurred there is a driller, Venoco, which is based in Texas and Colorado but has operations in California, they proceeded to drill without disclosing that they were doing chemical injection hydraulic fracturing. And the information surfaced that they were, and I think that was largely through the efforts of the citizens in Monterey County who have been challenging these fracturing wells for over 10 months now as the applications come forward.
No, wait a minute. They challenging them to stop them altogether, or to sort of like the smart meters with PG&E here. People are afraid of them, and they don't want to be forced to have smart meters until more studies have been done to ensure their safety. Is that the same kind of a situation that we're looking for with these fracking operations?
Yes. I mean, basically, the tradition in America since the Nixon administration, and Nixon in many ways was, despite his personal problems and his behavior, legislatively he brought about a lot of advances, Safe Water Drinking Act, Clean Water Act, Clean Air Act, National Environmental Policy Act. And
your president was not a crook. Or was he? Partially. I don't know.
Well, and it's immaterial because, he did some significant balancing of regulation, research, and growing, processes in the extraction of oil and gas can evolve and grow and be inventive. But here's the problem. The inventive side, which is very American, really, has far outpaced the regulatory side. And now we're so far ahead on the chemistry and technology that the agencies that commonly would regulate this process don't even know what's being injected into the wells to have the results that they're trying to achieve. Now, the fracturing hydrology of this type has had mixed success. The wells in various shales in the east, in Wyoming, in New Mexico, and in Texas, have produced a fair amount of natural gas and a pretty extensive amount of environmental effect, some of which is most easily understood and seen in a film that was up for Academy Award, I believe, for Best Documentary called Gasland, which is available. You can Netflix it. But basically, the issue has become that the technology is so far ahead of the study of how to manage it and its effects. Where do the byproducts of this kind of drilling that are recovered, which is about 40 to 50% of what they inject, where are they placed? They can't really go in anything but a Class 1 landfill. The kinds of materials that are used, their chemistry is not well understood, their effects have not been tested, and this all traces back to the exemption in the Bush administration from the Safe Water Drinking Act. So,
you probably want to reverse that, right? I mean, you just want this whole thing to be,
it should be more conventional to what we've come to expect in America, which is that we don't stop our energy producers, we don't, we actually encourage and support them with all kinds of various grants and tax relief, but we also at the same time have made a commitment to people to keep the air and the water clean, and that involves some science on what the effects are of the things we invent.
Sure. Are you meeting with any controversy
on this issue?
Yeah.
Well, interestingly enough, we're trying to be real clear about what the problem is, and it doesn't involve little fields like, although it's a relatively big field, but shallow drilling like at San Ardo. We've gone to some meetings where they get pretty testy. The people in San Ardo think, we're, quote, environmentalists, and really it's just a collection of community members that have gotten together in South County that are concerned.
Well, what are you asking them to do? Clean. Are you asking them to just to reveal what chemicals they're injecting into the ground where they don't have to right now? Like unlike the Santa Barbara people who do this, they do have to reveal that.
I mean,
is that what you're lobbying for? If you don't come right out and say what it is you want, people get irritated. So, they might get irritated even if you do come out and say what you want if they don't agree with it,
Right, exactly. It's pretty basic. If you're going to be injecting unknown chemicals into and through and beyond the basic groundwater aquifers that we use for drinking water, you need to disclose what you're doing. And the government needs to get on board with not being walked on by the energy industry in terms of studying what it is that's being used, understanding the technology, and learning how to regulate it insofar as it needs regulation. And so there's two levels. There's the land use regulation process, which the County of Santa Barbara has addressed excellently. I don't know what the County of Monterey is going to do. We have an appeal on three wells coming up, or nine potentially nine wells coming up this Wednesday at the Planning Commission in the afternoon.
Yeah.
And I haven't yet seen the staff report. It doesn't, you know, it's not out yet, but I don't know what the county's going to be recommending, whether they're going to recommend something like County of Santa Barbara has recommended. But, you know, if you're going to claim privilege about disclosing what you're doing to the environment, including the water we drink, then, you know, our position is the permit should not be issued until there is a state and federal structure to manage this new technology. I mean, it's a bit like, flying a rocket. You know, in terms of energy, this is as big as being able to put something into orbit. I mean, this is a major, major development, the chemical hydraulic fracturing, and kept under the radar. And, you know, you begin to see a bit about it here and there. You see some of the effects in terms of polluting groundwater. Banks are now involved because people have signed leases for drilling that the banks haven't approved, and it leaves the land uninhabitable in some contexts. We don't know the effects on drinking water. We don't know the effects on our aquifers. And in an agriculture area, if your water is permanently modified with chemistry, or with chemistry that has long, long half-lives, you're going to seriously interfere with the agricultural base of the community, which is what we have here in South County. So basically what we're looking towards is having a reasonable set of regulations that will address the potential effects. And if that requires some study before they allow these kinds of wells to be drilled, so be it. You know, there's certainly time, energy, and resources to determine what the effects of this will be over the long term. And that's what's needed, because you're already seeing significant effects in Pennsylvania, in New York, in the upper watersheds, where entire stream systems have been polluted. And a lot of this is illustrated in a very preliminary way in this film, Gasland, which I think if your listeners want to start to begin to understand the process, it's a pretty good place to start. The energy industry, to be fair, has criticized the film as being oversimplistic and, you know, not really demonstrating the full range of complexity. That may be true, but nor have they. I mean, they have not made it easy for the public or the regulators of this industry to even know what they're doing, because they don't even disclose their chemistry. And they're, as they say, they're hiding behind privilege. Now, maybe these chemicals are not terribly dangerous, but the effects, so far as we get hints and scrape of them, the effects, including, you know, with all of this breaking up of the substrate underneath housing and commercial areas, one thing that has been happening where this kind of drilling has been done that's very serious is earthquakes. And in fact, there's been a study initiated in Texas to look at the linkage between the fracturing and earthquakes. And places like Arkansas have actually put this kind of drilling on hold until they could get a better handle on how it was affecting earthquakes. So they never had earthquakes ever to speak of in modern times in these areas. And
yeah, that's true. We haven't heard, you don't hear about earthquakes except in the Ring of Fire, you know, the west coast of North America and the east coast of Asia.
And that's one of the concerns.
Typically,
so. You know, the drilling they want to do in South Monterey County is 30 miles from the San Andreas Fault. And, you know, perhaps they can provide assurances that there'll be double sleeving or metal jacketing and cementing these deep wells. But, you know, the amount of ground acceleration that you can get in this region is severe. And there is an unasked and unanswered question as to what the reasonable probability would be of chemical contamination of usable aquifers in the event of a seismic event of some magnitude. And that question is asked in every EIR, in environmental impact report, in environmental impact statement, relative just to basic geology. So, I mean, the thing needs study. I mean, it's just, it's a new technology. It needs to be taken down carefully and looked at. And then proper regulation be put in place. In the meanwhile, what we're asking for on these nine wells coming up for appeal is that the county do what Santa Barbara County has done and initiate a regulatory process and do not issue permits if they will not engage in a regulatory process and are hiding behind the exemptions in the last energy bill. So that's kind of what our position is. It isn't that this kind of drilling has to be prohibited, but it certainly has to be understood, studied, and the effects mitigated.
Would you like to hear an email that I've received?
Sure.
Okay. By the way, I want to open up the phone lines and invite people to call and join the program at 479-1080. It's 479-1080 in area 831. We'll see how much interest there is in this particular. I think it's a fascinating topic, but it might not be that much concern to a whole lot of people. But are you there, Steve?
Yes.
Okay. Someone named named Bob C. in Carmel has already sent me an email. A Robert R. Champion. Well, and the title says Bush's fault. Well, your guest got in Bush's fault early and then tossed in Cheney, of course. I wondered how long it would take for Halliburton to come up, and sure enough, it did. Modern fracking is done at depths well below those of aquifers, and the borehole is protected during drilling with steel casing all the way. There is absolutely no risk. Your guest is just an anti-hydrocarbon environmental wacko using any scare tactic he can. Is there any drilling for oil and gas that he supports? That's the end of the email.
Well, that was cordial. In a sort of Carmel sort of way, I guess.
That was cordial. Well,
yeah. Well, actually, I guess I have two responses to that. First of all, I think it's very important when you're dealing with new technologies, and this is a new technology, to make a commitment to being civil in your discussions, investigative with your science, not making allegations that a system is perfect before it's even been understood, but to do it all very civilly. So on the issue of being called a whatever environmentalist, I suppose I would say...
An anti-hydrocarbon environmental wacko. Using any scare tactic you can.
Yeah, I think that's just... It's a little bit unnecessarily personal, and it is an attempt to have a you and them kind of approach to it. And I honestly just don't think that that's of any value at all. I guess, whether what my position is relative to energy and energy development, I'm not sure that it's terribly important because I'm not a policymaker, but I am a citizen. And I guess what I would say is we need to be putting our efforts into a full range of technologies. All of them need to be equally supported with tax breaks and government support. At this point, you're all every 2 to 3 years there's a battle over whether alternative tax support that petroleum and hydrocarbon technologies get. And it is what the Chinese observe about us is that we can't keep a policy in motion for more than 3 years before it's reversed by somebody else. So, I think for the long run, fuel-efficient cars and vehicles, alternative technologies, the use of hydrocarbon, a bona fide mixed energy strategy with an emphasis on fuel efficiency, and the emphasis, I think, needs to tilt towards where China's decided it needs to go, which is in solar, hydraulics, as well as hydrocarbons. Hydrocarbons obviously are part of a suite that we'll be using well into the future, and I'm not naive about that, but I do think they have to be properly managed. We always have managed them in the past, and the reason I mentioned Nixon is that he was considered, I think, a dark presence on the scene, and even a Nixon Republican recognized the need to balance. And what's unfortunate when someone writes in with so strong an opinion before they know what our citizen opinion is down here in South County, it's just unfortunate because we favor balanced, a mixture of resources, improving energy efficiencies, improving on being competitive internationally with products and inventions. And, you know, unfortunately, we're, with the exception of California, perhaps, there is no leadership moving us that direction, and we're quickly falling behind most of Asia. I mean, I don't think... I'm 60, almost 65, but I think even in my lifetime we'll see Asia taking down solar companies like Solyndra, which is, like, I guess part of the big scandal of...
When you say taking down, I'm not sure I know what you mean.
Outcompeting them, producing good technologies at less expensive prices, and, you know,
hard to outperform something that's defunct.
Right. Well, the problem, you know, I think part of the problem is the inconsistency. It's what the Chinese point out themselves, that because we have a two-party system and deep divides within those parties, policies are used to interfere with the invention of long-term energy supplies. And that's why the Bush administration took away the solar support that they give, the same kind of support is given to the hydrocarbon industries. They took it away politically because they could. Obama reinstated it. Now it looks like it's going away again. I mean, and I think the point the Chinese made, it's okay to swap over policies and have a dialectic that's antagonistic if it's not about the basics. But if it's about the basics, infrastructure, the energy that drives your culture, you know, take it out of that domain, develop a uniform and consistent policy that treats all of the different aspects of an energy policy equally and fairly, and depoliticize it, and then you'll progress. And that's exactly what the Chinese have done. And,
I don't think they allow people to, I don't think they allow the people to complain about anything. I don't think they give them any power at all.
Well, actually, I think that might be a misunderstanding or perhaps an oversimplification of certain things. My daughter is a professor at Dartmouth. She's a Tibetan scholar and works in China, and my son-in-law works in China a lot. And so I hear a great deal about, for example, the Chinese medical system, which is what my daughter studies. And despite the fact that they have 3 billion people, they have over 50 different medical care programs, and they do, to a certain level, cover everybody. It's hard to believe. But the issue with China, I mean, if you watch the papers carefully, you'll find that, you know, corruption and environmental degradation is a capital offense in China. So people are actually executed for elements of corruption that cause an environmental catastrophe. I think it's perhaps a bit harsh. The problem in China, I think, is that the growth rate at 10% is so fast that, again, they are having the difficulties any fast-growing country has with regulating things properly. Very often things are approved on paper. For example, you build a building with a certain grade of rebar, and as it gets constructed, there are bribes in the system that cost slighter grades of rebar to be used, and so the design work that's done becomes ineffective because of corruption in the implementation of building. We We have corruption and implementation of codes as well, but it's much more closely and honestly regulated. But, you know,
disagree about what?
I would disagree on the China issue. I think that China is an enormous country, and I do think they are serious about reducing corruption and people who may be tempted to cut corners are subject often to capital punishment. I mean, it's unheard of in this country and not needed, but... And I think, personally, an inappropriate reaction to take a person's life for being corrupt is a bit much.
I'd be in favor of it.
You have a stronger stomach than I do, I guess.
Uh-huh.
So, anyway.
We're talking with Steve Craig from wildblue.net, right? Tell us about wildblue.net real quick here.
Well, actually, the group that I'm affiliated with is called Halt Oil Lease Drilling Now. It goes by the acronym HOLD. It's a group of Southern Monterey County citizens, men and women, generally people in the older ranges. It's an active group of just local citizens who had to get together to learn about what was going on because we kept seeing these wells being repeatedly drilled. We didn't know what kind of drilling it was, and it was at that point that the whole fracturing adventure began about a year ago. So the group that I'm affiliated with is called HOLD. We can be basically can be reached at the email address Hold On.
Oh, okay.
Or if someone's interested in this issue, they can just write me directly, and my email is stevecraig@wildblue.net. That's their Wildblue is our email server, actually. So there are other there are other groups that are involved in this appeal. Including previously we've had the support and participation of the Center for Biological Diversity in San Francisco and Los Padres Forest Watch based in Ojai, Santa Barbara. And there was as well some involvement for when this BLM lease sale came up here recently by the Natural Resource Defense Council. So, really the understanding of how to respond to fracturing and what it might do to environment and water supply is just getting off the ground in this last year. And the other thing for a place like Southern Monterey County that relies heavily on groundwater to drive the economy, these wells can require significant amounts of just water for injection. Now, the amounts you hear about are wildly variable. And again, some study by the EPA or the Cal EPA or the Regional Water Quality Control Board would reveal a lot about what the real truth is about the amount of water needed. But chemical injection is a high pressure water driven technology. So we always are asking the question, where is this water coming from and how will it affect the agricultural base of our community? And that's another important question for people here in
Steve, we got to take a break for the top of the hour news. This is KSCO Santa Cruz, Salinas, Monterey, San Jose. We'll be back in 6 minutes right after CNN News.
CNN Radio, I'm Jim Ribble. Top story this hour, officials of Libya's interim government say elections will be held in the coming months. In the words of the interim prime minister, elections should be within a period of 8 months maximum. Meanwhile, CNN's Dan Rivers reports the interim Libyan government appears to be reneging on its promise to treat Muammar Gaddafi's body with respect.
It's pretty unedifying, it must be said. They said they were going to treat his body with respect and dignity, but it's anything but dignified. The way there are queues of people around the block, including lots of children and women, wanting to come in and see for themselves the face of the dictator.
President Obama said in his weekly speech that getting out of Iraq will allow the U.S. to better focus resources on the economy.
We have to tackle this challenge with the same urgency and the same unity that our troops brought to their fight. That's why we have to do everything in our power to get our economy moving again.
In the GOP weekly address, Senator Richard Burr says Republicans want to drive job creation not with the Obama jobs bill, but with fewer government regulations on business.
We'll stop overregulation at the federal level to ensure stability, that businesses will not have to worry about the next burdensome regulation lurking around the corner.
The heir to the Saudi throne, Crown Prince Sultan, died in a New York hospital today of an undisclosed illness. This raises succession questions in a key oil-producing country. Former CIA analyst Robert Bauer says the next person in line to the throne when King Abdullah dies is not exactly friendly to the West.
I think it's destabilizing. Prince Nayef is most likely to succeed him as crown prince, and he does have very close relationships with the Muslim Brotherhood around the Middle East. He's funded militant causes.
Round and round it goes. Where it lands, nobody knows. An old German satellite's expected to fall out of orbit any time in the next 12 to 18 hours. Scientists say one chunk weighing more than a ton might survive reentry, and they don't know where any of this stuff might land. This is CNN Radio.
Can't believe I'm pulling this off after all these years. So glad I got that personal loan from One Main Financial.
Can I take this blindfold off?
Let me help you.
We're going on a cruise.
No, dear. The honeymoon we never took.
You've made promises. We can help you keep them. We are One Main Financial, providing personalized loan solutions with flexible payment options. Go to onemainfinancial.com or call 1-855-321-MAIN. One Main Financial. Your needs, your goals, your dreams. Offer subject to restrictions and requirements of the licensee. For licensing information, visit our website or call us.
If you're like me, you have personal belongings that you hold dear. Belongings you can't live without. It's precisely why GEICO makes it easy to get renter's insurance for a really low rate. Renters can protect all their personal belongings for as little as $12 a month. What belongings do I hold dear? This karaoke machine and my vinyl record collection. You fancy a tune? Nah, I shouldn't. All right then.
Are you going to Scarborough Fair?
Visit GEICO.com to see how affordable renter's insurance can be.
You'd expect companies to make an effort to keep their workers with the most potential, but many are having trouble. A new AMA Enterprise survey of top executives finds one in four companies has been ineffective in holding on to their best performers. Only 18% are considered very effective. AMA Enterprise's talented workers need to be developed in a number of ways, including mentoring, coaching, and stretching their assignments. If done the right way, AMA says companies should not only keep their high performers, but also enhance their business. Also, programs for the workers with the most potential must be transparent. If not, AMA Enterprise believes the workers are left to wonder what happens next, and that may be part of the reason why many companies find it hard to hold on to their high-value talent. I'm Steve Orr from the newsroom at MarketWatch.com.
I wish these dogs would sleep in for once.
They wake up so early.
Know what else is early that we all need to wake up to? Medicare open enrollment.
How early?
Starts October 15th this year and ends on December 7th.
So it's time to review my health and prescription drug coverage.
If you're happy with your old Medicare plan, you don't need to do a thing. Or you might find a new plan with better coverage, higher quality, or less cost. You won't know unless you take a look.
Medicare open enrollment starts earlier this year. It's October 15th through December 7th. Call 1-800-MEDICARE or visit Medicare.gov to compare and review Medicare plans.
Medicare gives you free cancer screenings, free annual wellness visits, and a 50% discount on brand-name prescription drugs when you're in the donut hole. It's all part of the healthcare law.
Medicare open enrollment ends on December 7th. Learn more at 1-800-MEDICARE, Medicare.gov. A message from Medicare and the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
With over 900,000 products and 31 product categories, some people would say Grainger has everything but the kitchen sink. Of course, those people would be wrong, because sinks are among the over 900,000 products Grainger offers to help keep your business up and running, along with belt sanders, baseboard heaters, duct tape, tissue paper, reversible air drills, and, well, you get the idea. Most everything. For super fast access to Grainger's over 900,000 products, call clickgrainger.com or stop by a branch today. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hey everybody, Jay Farner here, and I'd like to introduce the Yorgage from Quicken Loans. Our Yorgage is better than a traditional mortgage because it conforms to your goals. It's a fixed-rate home loan that allows you to custom design a term that works best for you, anywhere from 8 to 30 years. The rate today on an 8-year fixed Yorgage is an amazing 3.5%, APR 3.69%. Call today at 800-970-2611.
Call us for cost information. Other restrictions may apply. Equal housing lender. License in all 50 states. NMLS number 3030.
Good morning, everyone. You are tuned in to KSCO 1080. I am Nikki James, and I've got your forecast. Beautiful weekend. It's gorgeous already today. It's going to be sunny, high of 79. The north-northeast winds, 5 to 10 miles per hour. Tonight, mostly clear, low of 52 with light winds. Tomorrow, mostly sunny, high of 78. North-north winds, 5 to 10 miles per hour. And out there on the Monterey Bay, the northeast winds, 5 knots, becoming northwest this afternoon. The wind waves will be less than 2 feet and a northwest swell of 2 to 4 feet at 8 seconds. Tonight, west winds, 10 knots, evening, becoming light with wind waves less than 2 feet. Northwest swell, 2 to 3 feet at 9 seconds. And on Sunday, the light winds becoming west, 10 knots in the afternoon. Wind waves will be less than 2 feet and a northwest swell of 3 to 5 feet at 9 seconds. Current temperatures, Salinas 64, Watsonville 64, Monterey 66, Santa Cruz 64, right outside KSCO Studios. And your King of the Hill traffic update. It looks like we had a traffic collision at 1025 on Soquel Drive at Freedom Boulevard. Two-car crash. CHP is on the way, and it looks like it's cleaned up. There's no injuries, so that's what I got for you. 475-1080 if you see something I missed. Official time, 11:07 and 57 seconds on this Saturday, October 22nd. Up next, we got the second hour of the Saturday special. Stay tuned. KSCO Santa Cruz, I'm Nikki James.
Having a very spirited discussion about fracking and oil drilling. We have never received the record phone calls that we've received this time, but we're going to try to beat it.
KSCO Radio 5.
Okay, Steve, we're talking with Steve Craig, Steve, are you there? Here, I think we got you there. Are you there now?
Yes.
Okay. All righty. I think we're going to finish up here. I'm surprised because I thought that this would be a topic that would make the phones just ring off the hook, and we didn't even receive a single phone call. So guess what? I think that means that's something that you think is interesting and I think is sort of interesting, but nobody else gives a damn. You know?
It's new, and it's not a generation that's coming up that's really keyed into the environment. So we encounter this all the time, and it's never a surprise that the fundamental deep disinterest in environmental protection in this younger upcoming generation is just
wait not a minute younger there. Upcoming generation, you mean the youngsters don't give a damn about oh my gosh, now the phone lines are jammed, I've never seen anything like it. But
no, I mean we don't have anybody in our group of people working on this issue that is in college or has been in college in the last 15 or 20 years. So I see this all the time.
So it's just baby boomer hippies like you and me, huh?
That's it.
Who seem to care about any of this stuff. Well, you know, part of me says, you know, if you want to stifle any kind of economic development, you know, complain to the government and get the government to impose moratoriums. So, and that's the quickest way to get a productive country to become a non-productive country. Okay, and I do believe that actually.
Well,
but I'm fascinated to hear you say that the younger generation doesn't seem to give a damn about environmental protection.
Right.
I've never heard that before. No, that's probably what got the phones going. Let's let me lock you in and
maybe
let's
that help.
Yeah, let's take a call from Ben, the great Ben in Salinas. Ben, you're on the air.
Good morning, Michael. Yes, hey. This is the great Ben, and the reason people aren't calling in, let me put this on the table, is because people are unbelievably completely stupid when it comes to these environmental issues regarding the fracking. What is the thinking that goes on with poisoning our water when we're in an agricultural area? What the hell do these people think they're going to eat? What are you going to water your plants with? And as far as drinking water, that moron in Carmel that called and says, oh, the petroleum, oh, and the, when did you Bush? Yes, it is Bush and Cheney that destroyed the air and the Clean Water Act. What do you think we're so mad at Obama about? He's sitting on his ass, not doing nothing about it. Everybody's soliciting unlimited donations, Citizens United, the Supreme Court. These bastards are willing to destroy the country. Here's the deal. When you fracture those sandstone formations behind, under the surface, especially in San Arto, look at the tremendous earthquakes that happen in Indonesia and in Japan. All it's going to take is a trigger event to precipitate a major earthquake on the San Andreas Fault, and our lives will change overnight. What is that moron in the Carmel thing? Oh, can't everybody afford to have drinking water trucked in from a 90-million-year-old glacier?
Now, wait a minute, Ben.
Like me and my rich buddies?
Ben?
People have to stop being so damn stupid about the food and air and water we drink. What the hell? Generation X and Generation Y, you know, without potable water, when the air and the food and the water is destroyed, what do you morons think you're going to eat and drink? What are you going to feed your kids? Your
Ben,
wishes and your dreams?
Do you think
and if
it's,
you got a pile of gold and no food, how long can you eat that gold?
Do you think it's not? Do you think it's nice, Ben, to call our listeners stupid?
Those morons.
When you know, you know damn well that the listeners to KSCO are the most intelligent people in the world.
Not the members of the Republican teabagger Nazi cult.
Now, wait a minute, Ben. They are not teabaggers.
Yes, they are.
They are not teabaggers. They are tea partiers, not teabaggers. That's
Michael,
hitting below the belt, Ben.
Michael,
you know damn well that teabaggers is a sexual, a disgusting sexual act. And you're not teabaggers. They don't go around doing disgusting sexual acts, and you know it. You're hitting
disgusting.
Below the belt, and that's not fair, Ben and Salinas, and you know it.
Disgusting is in the eye of the beholders. All of these Republican men and their husbands, that's the morning ceremony. They teabag each other. That's the glory of their cult. These kind of people are immoral, and to their immorality, they're unbelievably stupid and add greedy on top of that. Oh, I got mine. Screw you. That's what's wrong with America. That's why people are occupying our areas. You know, those of us that can't attend those events of occupying and trying to take our country back from the ignoramuses that have all the money and none of the brains.
As you know, Ben,
we need to be supporting them.
As you know, I love your passion. I'm very protective of our KSCO audience, and I don't like them being insulted.
Michael, I'm part of that audience for how many years now? But we intelligently have to say, if you destroy the drinking water, what the hell are you going to drink? And if you destroy the shale formations, how much are you going to cry when the San Andreas Fault does its thing and we have two islands instead of a state?
Okay. All righty.
Have a nice day.
There goes Ben in Salinas. Steve, did you enjoy that call?
Well, you know... I think that much passion probably is a little more than we need.
Well, I don't know. I mean, you might get some more people might pay attention to you if you don't talk as slow as you do and as slow as I do. Okay, here's Jackson in Monterey. Jackson in Monterey, what do you think of this situation today?
I just wanted to, number one, I wanted to agree with your guest that Richard Nixon doesn't get a lot of the credit for developing a lot of the environmental protections that we have in this country nowadays. He was the president that brought in the EPA, and if you remember the commercial with the Indian out on Lake Erie.
Yeah, with a tear in the Indian's eye.
Yeah, right. Okay, yeah. You don't see those commercials anymore. I think that's a good thing, and I think that Richard Nixon does deserve credit for that. But he was also the president that normalized relations with communist China. And
that's exactly right. He was a wonderful president. He doesn't have much of a personality, but he was a wonderful president, don't you think?
The reason that I'm calling is I'd like to hear your guest actually answer your question. Answer, would communist China... actually fascist China, if you look at it from a literal point of view, they are a fascist country, not in the sense of Nazi, but in the sense of a true definition of the term fascist economy. They are a fascist country, and would they allow him to obstruct infrastructure development the way he is obstructing it here, or would they potentially, possibly subject him to prison or even the death penalty?
Yeah, Steve, you could be toast over there.
not as likely as one might think based on the limited media exposure we get to what modern China is. China is an enormous country with over 50 well-defined ethnic groups. We hear about the Tibetans because Tibetans and the Muslim Uyghurs are targeted more avidly, and Westerners have followed them, their faiths, more closely. But China is a surprising, according to my relatives who work there or do field work there or research there, it's a surprisingly fast-moving, diverse,
We have a friend, a good listener to KSCO from years ago named Santa Cruz Mike, who's now known as China Mike. In fact, I had an email exchange with him earlier this morning. It's the middle of the night there where he is
right now.
You're absolutely right about things going moving way faster there. I mean, he actually moved to China. If you can't lick 'em, join 'em. You know, he actually moved to China, to be part of something that's growing instead of something that's contracting and depressing everybody and dying on the vine and everything here. The United States is going down the toilet, and there are so many people like me and my mom and other people around who are just brokenhearted about that. It's so sad.
Well,
it's so awful.
I mean, even if you take the Chinese military as an example, the Chinese military actually owns industries and businesses. In fact, they own some of the businesses that sell things to Walmart that people buy commonly. It's a military that's engaged in expansion and preparation, but the kinds of resources that have been expended over the last 10 and 12 years, you know, keeping bases in 140 countries and operating two overt and four covert wars. I mean, the amount of money that goes into all this really, I think, puts us at a competitive disadvantage relative to China and relative to Europe as well.
Can I agree with everything you're saying, but would they allow you, allow the type of dissent that you were allowed in this country? Would they allow you to raise objection to an infrastructure development in China? Would they, or would they not just simply not allow you to do it? And if you decided that you wanted to say protest in the streets, would they roll out the tanks like they did in Tiananmen Square? I mean, that's the question that I would like to hear you answer. I know the problems we have in the United States. I know that we're spending too much money on the military. I know that China's army is selling toys to our children, but would China allow you to go over there and protest an infrastructure development or a development of natural resources in their country that they felt was crucial to their internal interests? Would they? Can you answer that, please?
Yeah, I would probably say, I guess what I would say is that for projects of great scale, the answer would be no, they would not allow any individual or any particular village or town or community. When they built the Three Gorges Dam, I think is a pretty interesting example of the scale of what is expected in terms of sacrifice by the Chinese people in order to better manage their hydrology and also their energy needs as a growing country. So, yeah, I don't disagree that that it would be, that in many contexts, it would be difficult to take on Chinese authority.
Okay, however, so in other words, we do not know what kind of pollution of groundwater is going on in China or how that affects the Chinese people or how it may affect us. And as a matter of fact, we don't know something that they're doing in China wasn't responsible for the massive earthquake off of Japan.
Yeah, it's difficult to know. I mean, China also has the same kind of oil shale exploration that is going on now. They're working on their shales as well, trying to see if they can get more energy out of it. The Chinese have two advantages, I think, over us as a country, and it comes at a certain cost, and I think you're right, that cost is in the amount the individual can modify or speak up or change the course of things. But you know, the one thing the Chinese do have is they have a different way to make policy and to bring that policy forward so it produces results. Unfortunately, in our country, the dialectic between Republicans and Democrats, which has really frozen the entire system.
Yeah.
Now, which is better? I don't know.
Hey, Jackson.
Yes.
Let's see. Were you trying to say something?
No, I just said I realized that the Chinese have a different system over there. I think everybody in the United States understands that they are
That's why they get things done over there, because, you know, they chop someone's gonads off, like Steve. You know, they wouldn't put up with it.
Actually, the more high profile intolerance that they put in the newspaper is of people who have benefited from corruption. If you follow it, there are very high profile cases where. If there's poison of some kind that's put into the food supply or anything that will affect their ability to sell product, whether it's deliberate or cutting corners or trying to make the product, whatever it happens to be, last longer or make more money off of it, they're unrelenting in going after those people, and those are capital crimes. So it's a mix.
It's fascinating. We need
to. They have a free press over there that allows you to know everything that's going on, kind of like we do here. Not really like we have here, because, of course, our free press here prevents a lot of the development that could go on in the United States. I understand.
Yeah. Anyhow, so listen. Want to thank you, Jackson. It was a great call. Really appreciate it. And we have another caller named Richard N. Watsonville, who wants to talk to Steve. So, Richard, you're on.
Thank you, Michael. Steve, I think that your water comes out of the Cuesta Peak Santa Margarita area, right?
No, our watershed is fed by the Nacimiento Lake or Nacimiento River. We're about 10 miles above the lake.
What about your groundwater?
Well, groundwater is primarily, we're in the Nacimiento Basin, so the groundwater that we are using is primarily replenished by the Nacimiento River, which is an enormous watershed.
Well, and we have the Salinas River coming out of your area down there.
Exactly.
It's going straight north. But listen, these Chinese don't care about what's going on over here. I heard that last caller, and I'm thinking, these Chinese really don't care. They're going to implode from within. And no matter what Mr. Zwirling here says, you can't just go over there and tell people what to do. And China White Mike is living over there in China, so he doesn't have to pay taxes over here when he gets back here. He only has to live there so many days, right, Mike?
You know, I'm not sure. I don't think that's true, but we'll have to have him back on to where we can just ask him that question directly.
He's not living over there year round.
Yeah, he is. He is. He visits. He visits here back to the country maybe a couple of weeks a year, two or three weeks.
So that he can get out of paying all these taxes, and the Chinese are paying him to do all kinds of stuff for them. You know,
this whole
fracking thing is not about oil, Michael. It's about natural gas.
Well, you know, that is true. I remember from reading in the Chronicle article about Steve that fracking is more of a natural gas-related activity.
Well, that's what pushes the oil up to the top, man. That's what helps those things get it up there. I mean, for every oil well that you drill, you must drill four natural gas wells. There's that much pressure. Otherwise, you have the stuff blowing out all over the place.
Yeah, it depends how much is there. Like the Chevron plant in San Ardo is a really good example of an intelligent use of natural gas. It's pocketed in with the oil. They use it to basically drive their
steam. Listen, San Ardo is a dead zone. They ain't going to be nothing there for decades, if not centuries. San Ardo is finished. I don't know where.
Yeah, huh? I mean, they're in the final stages of culling what's there.
No, they cannot put enough the chemicals that they put in for fracking right now is nothing compared to what's been tossed in and the water, you know, over the decades in the past. It's terrible what's out there. It's go out there and check it out, Michael.
Whenever I pass San Ardo, I'm always in a hurry to get to L.A. or San Diego or to get back here. But
well,
I guess
Steve,
I could.
Steve is not far from there if he's in Nacimiento.
That's right.
Where Efren Zimbalist Jr. lives.
That's exactly. Well, that's where, no, not anymore. Right. He's dead now. He lives in heaven, presumably.
Okay.
So listen,
maybe you could do a special from down there.
Okay. Well, we'll see. Now, wait a minute, Richard Ann Watsonville. We have Kay in the studio now, and she has a breaking news here for us that she wants to share with you. You got an email yesterday, Ma?
No, I got it.
Get real close to the mic, please.
About an hour ago.
Oh, okay. All righty, good. Richard, thank you so much. Stay on the line, Steve. You might want to comment about this, okay? All right. Go ahead, Ma.
Listeners, this is something that the media, the American media, does not want you to know. Very quietly, Obama's citizenship case reaches the Supreme Court. Just researched, apparently, Hawaii had until August the 8th, 2011, to produce documents and open the books for a full investigation. This order was delivered on July 5, 2011, under a direct order of the Supreme Court. Very quietly, Obama's citizenship case reaches the Supreme Court, AP, Washington, D.C., in a move certain to fuel the debate over Obama's qualifications for the presidency. The group Americans for Freedom of Information has released copies of President Obama's college transcripts from Occidental College, now released. The transcript school indicates that Obama, under the name Barry Sotoro, received financial aid as a foreign student from Indonesia as an undergraduate. The transcript was released by Occidental College in compliance with a court order in a suit brought by the group in the Supreme Court of California. The transcript shows, that Obama, actually Sotoro, applied for financial aid and was awarded a fellowship for foreign students from the Fulbright Foundation Scholarship Program. To qualify for the scholarship, a student must claim foreign citizenship. This document would seem to provide the smoking gun that many of Obama's detractors have been seeking. Along with the evidence that he was first born in Kenya, and there is no record of him ever applying for U.S. citizenship, this is looking pretty grim. The news has created a firestorm at the White House as the release casts increasing doubt about Obama's legitimacy and qualification to serve as president. An article titled Obama Eligibility Question, which led some to speculate that the story may overshadow economic issues on Obama's first official visit to the UK. In a related matter, under growing pressure from several groups, Justice Antonin Scalia announced that the Supreme Court agreed on Tuesday to hear arguments concerning Obama's legal eligibility to serve as president in a case brought by Leo D'Onofrio of New Jersey. This lawsuit claims Obama's dual citizenship disqualified him from serving as president. D'Onofrio's case is just one of 18 suits brought by citizens demanding proof of Obama's citizenship or qualification to serve as president. Gary Creep of the United States Justice Foundation has released the results of their investigation of Obama's campaign spending. This study estimates that Obama has spent upwards of $950,000 in campaign funds in the past year, with 11 law firms in 12 states for legal resources to block disclosure of any of his personal records. Mr. Creep indicated that the investigation is still ongoing very quietly, but that the final report will be provided to the U.S. Attorney General Eric Holder. Mr. Holder has refused to comment on this matter. Let others know this news, because the media will not. Subject re-issue of passport. Paul Holren at SM asked and believes the issue can be resolved by Obama answering one simple question. What passport did Obama use when he was shuttling between New York, Jakarta, and Karachi? So, how did a young man who arrived in New York in early June 1981 without the price of a hotel room in his pocket suddenly come up with the price of a round-the-world trip just a month later? And once he was on a plane shuttling between New York, Jakarta, and Karachi, what passport was he offering when he passed through customs and immigration? The American people not only deserve to have answers to these questions, they must have answers. It makes the debate over Obama's citizenship a rather short and a simple one. Did he travel to Pakistan in 81 at age 20? The answer, yes, by his own admission. Question, what passport did he travel under? The answer, there are only three possibilities. One, he traveled with a U.S. passport, or he traveled with a British passport, or he traveled with an Indonesian passport. Is it possible that Obama traveled with a U.S. passport in 1981? The answer, no, it is not possible. Pakistan was on the U.S. State Department's no-travel list in 1981. Conclusion, when Obama went to Pakistan in 1981, he was traveling either with a British passport or an Indonesian passport. If he were traveling with a British passport, that would provide proof that he was born in Kenya on August the 4th, 1961, not in Hawaii, as he claims. And if he were traveling with an Indonesian passport, that would tend to prove that he relinquished whatever previous citizenship he held, British or American, prior to being adopted by his Indonesian stepfather in 1967. Whatever the truth of the matter, the American people need to know how he managed to become a natural-born American citizen between 1981 and 2008. Given the destructive nature of his plans for America, as illustrated by his speech before Congress, and the disastrous spending plan he has presented to Congress, the sooner we learn the truth of all this, the better. If you don't care, then your president is not a natural-born citizen and in violation of the Constitution, then delete this and then lower your American flag to half-staff, because the U.S. Constitution is already on life support and won't survive much longer. If you do not care, then forward this on to many patriotic Americans as you can, because our country's future is truly in grave danger and needs your attention and active support. For KSCO, this is Kay Swirling.
Okay. Well, the birther movement is alive and well. Yes?
Yes.
Yes. Okay. Good. That's very upsetting. You know, and this just came in the email just in the last hour, you say?
Yes.
Okay. All righty. Well, I'd like to sort of change the focus of the program to that in the last 20 minutes. Well, you have any thoughts, Steve, on that? On what you just heard?
Do you care?
I guess my only thought is I think our real concern is the kinds of policies we adopt, and it doesn't concern me terribly. I haven't actually followed the birther controversy. I mean, I've seen PDF pictures of Obama's birth certificate, which clearly is a Hawaiian birth certificate. But his mother was an anthropologist and spent a great deal of time traveling in a lot of countries, and I believe he legitimately could possess multiple passports. I know my adopted godson has multiple passports because of the nature of his mother and his father and their careers. But personally, I don't think these kinds of issues are terribly important. The man has at least one more year to serve out, and there are a lot of problems in this country that need attention, and it seems to me we should work on our problems and policies. And
shall we laugh at our Constitution?
Oh, no, of course not.
Well,
but I do think it would probably make sense to have...
shouldn't we know?
Know whether...
Are you glad or not that the Supreme Court is finally deciding to look into this matter?
I think the Supreme Court is unfortunately deeply politicized now because some of the people who have taken seats were not honest with the Congress about their biases and their position and how they would behave. But, I think, unfortunately, it's a highly politicized Supreme Court, which is not what it's supposed to be. It's supposed to have an arm's length from politics always and forever. So, there are many,
oh,
many
how
things.
How sad. About. Our country is in real trouble now. Who can we trust? We certainly can't trust our media, can we?
The media
picks and chooses, and the media wants Obama to be our president again.
I hate to bring up China again, but for many thousands of years, the Chinese had a very interesting approach to civil service and governing, and that was people had to take a civil service exam that showed that they understood the equivalent of the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, and citizenship. And it would be very interesting to me to see how many people currently serving in Congress actually know what the Constitution says, what's in the Bill of Rights. I would be surprised. At this point, you don't have to pass an exam or demonstrate your abilities relative to knowing how the country even works to run for office.
It sounds like you just don't want to deal with this particular problem at all, so you bring up other issues.
I don't think it's terribly important, no.
Okay.
Honestly, I think...
Now, I'm starting to receive emails, actually. Here's one from George Myers. It says, Mom's on the phone. Your mom should really quit worrying about the president's citizenship. This about takes the cake. Her humorous takes are hilarious when she's serious about the president's birthplace. It's just plain scary. Uh-huh. Trick or treat, huh, Mike? Okay, so that's the thank you from George Myers. Here's Daryl Hardy, and this is about fracking. People so quickly forget just how human greed in some people overrides common sense and consideration of the greater good, whether it's political or financial power. Remember the MTBE? It's still in the water. Anytime there is so much secrecy, it should be a concern. And who knows what the long-term ramifications will be? And no one knows about how or where this radioactive water can and will travel. I'm a centrist and think that while the great Ben and the gentleman from Carmel have valid points, I find the rhetoric to be classic. Painting any group of people with a broad brush just fuels inaction and extremism. Can we have a common sense discussion instead of mudslinging? Wonder where the politicians get it, and more importantly, why the people tolerate it. Most people do not want dirty water and air, regardless of political bent. Fiscally conservative and socially liberal-ish. Good show, great station, listeners since moving here in 1989. Thanks, and that's from Coralitos Daryl. Okay, now, 479-1080, if you want to join the fray here, gang. I want to say something. Steve, listen, to everybody else. Where do I start? If Obama is... falsely, if he was not born in this country and he has managed to pull off being the president of this country against what is provided against the Constitution, I think that's a terrible thing. And Steve Craig, I love you. I respect you. I respect what you're doing. But if you don't think that's a terrible thing, you know, and maybe it's not true. Maybe these are just his detractors who will do anything to prove that he's not, even if he really was born in the United States. But I have one question for you. And I think I know your answer because I think you've already given it. Steve, if it was proved beyond a shadow of a doubt that Obama was not born in the United States, would you care?
Well, I guess my question is, I thought this was a settled issue. His birth certificate has been published in the New York Times.
No, please answer the question. Please answer the question. If I'll ask it again, it was proven beyond a shadow of a doubt that Barack Obama was not born in the United States of America, would you, Steve Craig, care or not? Simple yes or no.
And no, I wouldn't.
That's what I thought you'd say.
Yeah, I think we have to read people from
so
there.
So you don't care about the Constitution?
Move on.
No, I didn't say I didn't care about the Constitution. Actually.
Well, that's what the Constitution says. In order to be president, you got to be at least 35 years old, and you got to be a naturally born United States citizen.
Right. And I think, you know, my take on the evidence is that there's sufficient to show that he was Hawaiian born. He left very soon thereafter.
And that may well be the case, I'm very sad that your answer was what I thought it would be. Anyhow, let's go on to the next caller here. We got quite a few of them. Let's go to the one who's been waiting the longest. That would be Jan in San Lorenzo Valley. Jan, you're on the air.
Hi, Mike.
Hi.
Hi, Kay.
Hi.
Hi.
Hi, Jan.
Very important information because one of the most important things about this is if Obama has decided that he was not qualified to be president, then we can undo everything that he has done. Obamacare would be gone, everything that he started.
I'm not sure that's true, wonderful. Jan, because the Obamacare was passed by the Congress.
According to the Constitution, everything he's done would be null and void.
I agree.
His attorney general, his czars, his wife's trips, everything, all this stuff would stop.
Okay. All right.
That's incredibly important, and there's a lot more of us out here that believe that he is not a naturalized born citizen.
Well, I think everybody who doesn't like Obama or doesn't like his politics believes that. But what disturbs me is, and this is what I don't know what to believe. I honestly don't. But if it is proven beyond a shadow of a doubt that he was not born here, I care very much.
I do too.
Steve doesn't.
The sad thing is that the Supreme Court has the topic now.
Yeah.
And the other that's not sad. But what's sad is that the American media is not honest. The American media who picks and chooses what they want the rest of us to know.
Well, I think they're traitors because
they are.
Truth.
Okay. Well,
let me ask a question.
Oh, yeah,
because I think it's an important question.
Sure.
Let's assume Obama was, in fact, born in Hawaii, and then he left after a week. His parents took him to Indonesia, and he was raised internationally and had a broad, you know, residential experience living all over the world, came back as a young man, and went ahead and got his degree. Let's assume, you know, for the sake of assumption, let's assume that his birth certificate, as displayed in the New York Times, is accurate. He was born in Hawaii, therefore he's a citizen of Hawaii and the United States because it was in the United States when he was born. But he did leave very shortly thereafter, and I'm wondering whether the real objection here is that he didn't go through the American educational system until college. He lived in many different countries, primarily Indonesia, which is comprised of thousands of different islands. Is the problem that he's like culturally not American enough, or
there are rules and he has not gone by the rules? He will not give us an accurate birth certificate. The one he last produced was produced on a computer, And they forgot to compress all of the information that they put into it. It's been layered.
Oh, and yes. That has been. I read somewhere that has been proven and that birth certificate was doctored by Photoshop.
Why would he keep everything hidden about his past from us? Doesn't that make you suspicious at all?
Why is he working so hard with his lawyers, spending close to $1 million so that he can keep the information quiet?
Right.
Hmm? Well, I think any president tries to keep parts of their past that can be interpreted abusively or
You're reaching now.
Just determines whether he's qualified or not to be the president of these United States of America.
Well, I think what any modern president is reacting to is something like the Swift Boat incident with John Kerry, where a man's entire life can be turned upside down and put on his head.
This isn't whether he was in a swift boat or anything. This is whether he's qualified to be the president of the United States of America.
Yeah.
Don't you get it?
Yeah, I understand. But I think I suspect your biggest objection. I mean, again, I'll ask my question. What if a person is born in the United States and leaves at the age of 2 weeks and doesn't come back for 20 years?
He's still a citizen.
I want proof of where he was born.
Well, he's giving you the proof, but you're not buying it. Anyhow, we got to get to our other callers. Thank you, Jan. Appreciate your call. Let's see. Mike and Live Oak, you're on the air.
Hey, MZ.
Hi.
Not a good show, but I'm thank God for your mother and being diligent like she is and keeping her eye on the Internet, because I am just devastated, and I was waiting for this news because And of course, the left always, you know, pulls up the race card. That's their only excuse. But what's upsetting me about the whole...
The race card.
What about the race card?
Oh, no, the gentleman that's on right now. Oh, you know, they always pull up the race
card. Steve? I missed that. I don't think Steve...
Oh, no, it's other people.
Oh, okay.
People have been bringing up the race card. But my thing is just truthfulness with Obama and Holder. I mean, there's no truth, and I know the government doesn't tell the truth, but up there, they're just not telling the truth at all with Fast and Furious, and the list goes on. So there's nothing they do that's truthful. So they should just lock the doors and walk away to myself. So
okay.
But, excellent. Thank you.
Well, appreciate the call. Now we're going to go on to Michael in Live Oak. Michael, you're on the air with Steve Craig and MZ. And Kate.
Yeah, good morning, Michael.
Hi.
I have a very quick question for you before I give my question to the guest. You hosted the smart meter meeting, and you announced that, or you mentioned that you were sitting on the fence about whether or not you thought it was a problem. And I've just been really wondering ever since then if that tipped the scale.
Well, geez, we've departed, you know, drastically, abruptly from our main topic.
I was going to adjust the topic, but I just had to ask you that because I've been wondering.
I don't like smart meters. I don't like the fact that PG&E is jamming them down our throats. Okay,
that's right.
What I don't like. Okay, and I announced that then. Okay, quick.
My question for the guest, Steve. I mean. The rules are set in stone about the being born in the U.S. So if he objected to that, if he thought it was the president thought it was an inappropriate rule, then maybe he could approach it that way. But if he actually is in violation of that is definitely against the Constitution. That seems pretty clear. I agree.
I don't think the issue that most people have to I haven't studied it thoroughly or looked at all the evidence, but based on what I've seen, copies of the birth certificate, he has been in and out of country. I think the thing that people are not articulating that does bother them is that while he was born in the United States, based on evidence that has been produced, maybe it's truthful, hopefully it is, but he wasn't raised in the United States, and much of his time has been overseas. And I think perhaps the thing that people really are objecting to is that the provisions of the Constitution say you have to be born here. But culturally, the man, you know, has been deeply influenced by Indonesia and not so deeply by Africa, as he says in his book, but by one African, his father. But there is a foreignness to Obama in the sense that he didn't go through our school systems and college systems the way most people do. And
we have to move on.
Thank you,
Michael. Here's Helga and Carmel. Helga, you're on the air real quick here. We got to
I couldn't restrain myself because the person that's on your show, this is the sentiment of the majority of people. They don't care if our country goes down the dumps. I lived in Germany. I grew up in there. Hitler wasn't even a German. He was Austrian. And he took this country down, and so is this guy. So give me a break. Birth certificate, where's the birth certificate? Jerome Corsi, PhD. He was thrown out of Kenya because he got the proof that he was born in Kenya. So listen, we got to get this guy out.
Okay.
This country is cooked. Thank you.
Okay,
I'm outraged. Bye.
Thank you much. Here's John and Carmel. John, you're on the air on KSCO with MZ and
Great program
Steve.
Again, Michael and Kay. Please post that information on the site. Steve, let me ask you this question. If he is a non-citizen, would you agree that he should be prosecuted as a traitor and also be executed as a traitor? If he is not a citizen and it's proved and he's taken the office illegally?
I'm sorry. Was that a question to me?
Yes.
Yes, that was to Steve.
I would not rush to execute anybody for any purpose. I think, unfortunately, what we've developed in this country over the last 10 years, I think due to the Iraq War and the war in Pakistan and the secret wars in Somalia and Yemen, is a very easy and careless approach to determining what's true and what's not, and executing people rather than bringing them to justice and putting them through a legal process. This is what occurred with Osama bin Laden. The Libyans have picked it up, and they've murdered Gaddafi without the revelation of how his prison system and secret system worked. I think, really, this whole notion of
No time to argue. I got to take our next caller because we're at the end of the program. We got to do some commercials. Our next caller is Alan in Santa Cruz. Alan, quick. Alan. Okay, forget it, Alan. Here's our next caller. Last caller is going to be Lane. Oh, golly. All righty. Well, I don't know how to do this here. I just want to say, block all. Nope, I don't know how to do that here. Are you still there, Steve?
Yeah, I am. I just wanted to say thank you. I appreciate
it. Thank you so much. I think the program was a little slow the first hour, but I think we picked it up. Thanks for staying with us, okay? I appreciate it.
Okay.
Take care now. There goes Steve Craig. Now we're going to do our commercials for this hour, right, Nikki? Yeah. Take it away, Nikki!
If you wished you had gorgeous carpeting throughout your house, but are afraid to get it because your 5-year-old loves eating his cherry popsicle while riding the Labrador like a horse, fear no longer. Your carpet is waiting for you during Rainbow Carpet One's Spellebration Savings Event. For a limited time, they're offering up to 50% off select Lee's carpets. This super stain-resistant carpet withstands the nastiest spills, including cola, chocolate milk, juice, red wine, and more. Come in during Rainbow Carpet One's Spellebration, and you can also enjoy up to 50% off select hardwood and laminate floors. Plus, take advantage of special 36-month 0% financing. Lower prices than the big box stores. 10 times the selection. Nobody beats Rainbow Carpet One in Santa Cruz, Watsonville, and Gilroy. Shop them online now at rainbowcarpet1.com.
Hello, I'm Robert Stangero. Many Santa Cruzans know me as Bigley. The original Stangero family has been in business since 1879. Our name stands for quality, quantity, and great service. Our Gilda's restaurant on the Santa Cruz Municipal Wharf is still the fishing headquarters for the area. It's where fishermen gather every morning for coffee and breakfast before heading out on the bay. Stop by Gilda's and say hello. Both my son Dino and I look forward to meeting you at Gilda's at the center of the Santa Cruz Municipal Wharf.
Hi, Jacoby here, inviting you to join me this Saturday for Raising the Standards. This week, we'll... Maybe I could just do it live every time. Just call me. 3, 2, 1. Hi, Jacoby here, inviting you to join me this Saturday for Raising the Standards. We'll have some music for the soul and some conversation for the mind. Join me and my co-host Rachel, the lovely Rico, Xena the Warrior Princess, and that goofy little guy that does the show after us. It all happens this Saturday, 3 to 5, only here on KSCO.
Hi, everyone. It's MZ, the proud owner of this independent radio station, KSCO AM 1080. You know, a lot of my time is spent figuring out innovative ways to keep our great station going and growing. Our staff and personalities do a great job, and they deserve to be recognized and rewarded financially. So, here's my new idea. Da-da-da-da! KSCO Team! Yep, KSCO Team. A way for you to buy premium quality health, energy, and skincare products that are good for you and support KSCO, your favorite radio station, and your favorite host or personality all at the same time. If you use a computer, go to KSCOteam.com, check out the favorite products of our hosts, and buy them online. If you don't use a computer, call the KSCO Team telephone hotline at 222-0288. That's 222-0288 in area 831, and leave a voicemail so I or one of our hosts can get back to you. Remember, KSCOteam.com or 222-0288.
Every Saturday from noon to 1, the Perspectives radio show is heard on KSCO. Every week, they interview well-known experts on a variety of topics such as holistic health, constitutional issues, and local and national issues. For example, they would like everyone in Santa Cruz County to know that the planning department policy of handing out red tags to thousands of homes has been declared illegal by the state of California's 6th Court of Appeals. Listen in every Saturday from noon to 1 to Perspectives as they discuss these and many other important issues.
KSCO Santa Cruz, and we join CNN News in progress.
Say elections will be held in the coming months. The chairman of the National Transitional Council Executive Board says elections, in his words, should be within a period of 8 months maximum. Meanwhile, NATO says it plans to end its military operations in Libya by October 31st. A federal judge has thrown out Arizona's claims against the federal government over its enforcement of immigration laws. Arizona says the feds have failed to control the border with Mexico, so the state says it has that responsibility. Governor Jan Brewer says she'll take the fight to the U.S. Supreme Court. For news anytime, go to CNN.com. This is CNN Radio.
.9% of the Grainger products you order are shipped the same day. And 99% of our customers think that's great. But if you're part of the 1% minority that thinks this is too fast, here are some ways you can slow us down. Talk slower on the phone. Order in a language only you understand. Have your order shipped to Houseboat, then move the Houseboat. Or my personal favorite, order a trillion of something. For super fast access to Grainger's over 900,000 products, call, click Grainger.com, or stop by a branch today. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Need cash? Sell unwanted gold and diamond jewelry to Empire Diamond. Call 1-800-728-3425. In the Empire State Building since 1931 and a reputable Better Business Bureau member, Empire is paying the highest prices ever. The time to sell is now. Empire Diamond offers the highest cash prices without any pressure. Don't wait for gold prices to drop. Call 1-800-728-3425. That's 1-800-728-3425. Or visit EmpireDiamond.com.
Most victims of identity theft never even knew what hit them.
It can happen in a variety of ways. It can be family fraud. It can be from a data breach. It's tough to get your hands around it.
Ann Wallace is president of ITAC, the Identity Theft Assistance Center. She says sometimes information is compromised when a store you do business with is hacked.
You can have a disgruntled employee or somebody who's out, you know, for the money. They target information, steal information.
So what can you do to decrease the chances of this happening to you?
The most important rule is think of your information like a precious commodity, like it's cash. Think about where you share it when you, whether it's a social networking site or in day-to-day business transactions.
And make sure your software is up to date, both on your phone and on your laptops and computers. Those updates contain safeguards against identity theft. I'm Elisa Parenti from the newsroom at MarketWatch.com.
I wish these dogs would sleep in for once.
They wake up so early.
Know what else is early that we all need to wake up to? Medicare open enrollment.
How early?
Starts October 15th this year and ends on December 7th.
So it's time to review my health and prescription drug coverage.
If you're happy with your old Medicare plan, you don't need to do a thing. Or you might find a new plan with better coverage, higher quality, or less cost. You won't know unless you take a look.
Medicare open enrollment starts earlier this year. It's October 15th through December 7th. Call 1-800-MEDICARE or visit Medicare.gov to compare and review Medicare plans.
Medicare gives you free cancer screenings, free annual wellness visits, and a 50% discount on brand-name prescription drugs when you're in the donut hole. It's all part of the healthcare law.
Medicare open enrollment ends on December 7th. Learn more at 1-800-MEDICARE or Medicare.gov. Message from Medicare and the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
Can't believe I'm pulling this off after all these years. So glad I got that personal loan from One Main Financial.
Can I take this blindfold off?
Let me help you.
We're going on a cruise.
No, dear. The honeymoon we never took.
You've made promises. We can help you keep them. We are One Main Financial, providing personalized loan solutions with flexible payment options. Go to onemainfinancial.com or call 1-855-321-MAIN. One Main Financial. Your needs, your goals, your dreams. Offer subject to restrictions and requirements of the licensee. For licensing information, visit our website or call us.
If you're like me, you have personal belongings that you hold dear. Belongings you can't live without. It's precisely why GEICO makes it easy to get renter's insurance for a really low rate. Renters can protect all their personal belongings for as little as $12 a month. What belongings do I hold dear? This karaoke machine and my vinyl record collection. You fancy a tune? Nah, I shouldn't. All right then. Are you going to Scarborough Fair?
Visit GEICO.com to see how...